Hello, this is Berent Strom from SarkSpecific.com coming from you to the boot room, and I have with me today Bobby Howe, head coach of the Portland Timbers. Hello, Bobby.
Hi, Berent. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Hey, I'd love to just hear a little bit of your story, how soccer has influenced your life from being a kid all the way to being adult and being a professional coach.
Well, I hope this is a long program, Berent.
As long as you like.
I started playing soccer from a very, very young age in England, probably from the age of about 5 or 6, playing street soccer, but I was very fortunate in that I didn't have to actually physically play in the street, although many of my contemporaries did. In the early 50s, I had a field in front of my house, and we used to go out and play make-up games and improvised matches, improvised games, and we played games with denominations. So as many kids wanted to turn up, we'd play that many per side, and we'd play to one goal, we'd play to two goals, and depending upon the numbers and so on. It was a wonderful era for me because, there were no other real distractions. First of all, there were no other real sports that you could play in an organized fashion like that. And we played a little bit of cricket in the summer, but really the main sport in England at that time, as it is now, was soccer. You know, we didn't have televisions. I mean, I didn't have a television till I was 9. We didn't have a telephone. Obviously, there were no computers at that time. So, you know, most of our time was spent in play, and it was a fairly safe environment just in front of my house and so on. So that's really where, I gained the love for the game and obviously the skills of the game. And from that time, moved through school soccer, competitive district, county soccer, and then was scouted for the pros while I was playing at school. At that time, the schools controlled all youth soccer. There weren't clubs as there are here today. It was all done through the schools association. The development process was through the schools, although at that time there was no real coaching. So I went to play at West Ham at the age of 16, and while I was there, began to enjoy, the coaching aspect of the game, and spent a lot of time while I was at West Ham, coaching at high school, and developed through there. So really, since I've been involved in the game from a playing point of view and from a coaching point of view all my life, really, around about the age of 5 and 6.
So, just curiosity has me wondering, when you signed on with West Ham, did you continue in school?
No.
You dropped out of school at 16.
I didn't drop out of school. I finished school at 16. At that time, in the early 60s, in the 50s, early 60s, you could leave school at the age of 15 or 16, depending upon your qualifications. And I actually stayed on at school an extra year, and left when I was 16 to join West Ham, in the professional ranks.
Sure. So you played a while over there, and then how did you get over here to the States?
While I was in England, I played soccer. After I left West Ham United, I went to AFC Bournemouth, a city on the south coast, and played there for a couple of years with Jimmy Gabriel. And Jimmy, after that time, came to the United States to become player assistant coach with the Seattle Sounders from 1974 to 77.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1977, Jimmy became the head coach and asked me if I'd like to come over here and become his assistant.
Mm.
And, I came over, had a look at the city, had a look at the North American Soccer League scene, and decided to make the career move. And, I've been here ever since.
Huh. So as you came across, what would you say, just for reference, the differences between the game in England at the time and the NASL in the 70s?
The whole atmosphere of the game was slightly different. I mean, you know, still, soccer in the United Kingdom is part of the culture, and is part of the social structure of the nation. At this time, you know, soccer is, while it's becoming extremely popular as a participation sport, really, you know, doesn't receive the passion that the game does in the United Kingdom and elsewhere, other places in Europe and South America and so on. But at that time in the North American Soccer League, the standard was very high. But there was a disparity between the very, very top teams in the North American Soccer League and the bottom teams. And that was due by and large to the fee structure. At one end of the spectrum, you had the New York Cosmos that were owned by Time Warner Communications. And then you had teams at the other end of the spectrum that were owned by individuals, quite wealthy individuals, but certainly they couldn't outspend the Cosmos. And at that time, there were no salary caps and so on and so forth. I mean, the good news was that the Cosmos attracted huge crowds themselves and attracted huge crowds wherever they went. So from that point of view, they were providing the game a service. I think what also happened in the 70s was that, you know, soccer at that level was pretty new in this country, and I think a lot of people, you know, went out there to see what all the fuss is about, and and that's why there were huge crowds in the 70s. But of course, you know, when you have one team that is so good and is able to spend so much money, and other teams trying to play catch up with them, you know, you're going to result in financial misery for those teams that are trying to play catch-up. And that's, in fact, what happened with the North American Soccer League, and that's why it folded in 1984. Since that time, you know, there have been various other efforts to, you know, resurrect the game at the highest level. And Major League Soccer now has done a pretty good job. It's now in its 10th year of operation. And he's going quite strong. The crowds are pretty good, quite even, getting crowds of about 15,000 to 20,000 at games, and that's on a regular basis. The teams that are in MLS are now, you know, getting their own support, and so there's an interest there. But equally, the Major League Soccer is providing an opportunity for young players in this country to develop their skills at a fairly high level.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are at the moment in Poland, which is the second division of play, is also providing a wonderful opportunity for those people, those young players that are just coming out of college, not quite ready for MLS at this time, but aspiring to, you know, attain that level of play. So it's providing the vehicle for those players to be able to, you know, play competitively on a regular basis.
Sure. Hey, let's backtrack. After the NALS it folded, there was a gap, and you went into what type of coaching? Did you kind of, you had to kind of...
There was no professional soccer team play to speak of for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the, you know, efforts to resurrect the game at regional levels. So I became the director of coaching to Washington State Youth Soccer Association, which was purely an educational position, a position where I was instructing coaches in a licensing program, but also I was in charge in the state select program at that time, the selection of the best players in the state at youth level at various ages. So I was responsible for both those areas of play, the selection and coaching of select team players, which eventually became the Olympic Development Program, but also for the education of our coaches at all levels.
And how did you kind of come into that, and what did you enjoy most about teaching others how to coach?
Well, I was interested in that. In that, while I was in England, not only was I coaching at a professional club before I came to the United States, but I was also beginning to do some work for the English Football Association in an instructional capacity. I had my full licenses in England, and had attained the B license here in the United States, and I was always interested in the teaching of the game, and becoming director of coaching to Washington State Youth Soccer Association provided that opportunity for me to sort of continue to coach coaches. And I did that for a very, very long time. I was in that position for 12 years and then moved to Chicago to become director of coaching for the United States Soccer Federation for 4 years. And that was pretty much a similar role, except that I was dealing with coaches all over the United States rather than coaches in the state of Washington.
And how was that you went there, and then what brought you back into coaching at the professional level? You went to the Sounders,
yeah,
and then you
yeah,
went to
the Sounders. What I did was, what took me to Chicago was the fact that, the position, the national director of coaching position became available. And, I guess I had demonstrated that I had the credentials to be able to become the top teacher, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Just through the work that I had done at Washington State, and through the books that I had written, and my contributions to the writing of an upgrading of the national licensing program.
Mm.
So I think that all those things, pointed me in that direction.
Well, let's get down to a couple of specific things about coaching and playing. Now, I got to be part of that Washington State program, and I remember being trained by you on a couple of occasions, especially for being an outside back, and I remember those times fondly. Having said that, what is it that you love most about coaching? What is it that that kind of drives you to continue to be a coach?
Well, there's two things really. I mean, one is the teaching aspect, and one working with players to help them to improve performance. I think that's the most important thing. Given an opportunity to work with players over a period of time, and to be able to create the environment in training, and to see them improve in game play. Now, with the pros, you have to try to accelerate that process with who you recruit, because you don't get the opportunity to be in that position very long unless you win games. but at youth level, the nicest thing about coaching at youth level is looking at a group of players at the beginning of a season and seeing where they go and how they improve towards the end of the season. I think that's a very rewarding thing for me. And now at this stage, sort of mentoring of coaches, working with coaches with their own sessions, or working with coaches to help them to improve their knowledge of the game, is always very, very rewarding. One of the reasons I wanted to return to coaching with the pros, having been involved in education for so long, was twofold. One, I wasn't satisfied enough in the office aspect of that position.
Hmm.
I've always been very much a hands-on coach, a person on the field, and was spending a disproportionate amount of my time doing other things, and wanted to return to the game. So, when the position became available, the head coaching position became available in Portland, I jumped at that opportunity, and and also from a personal point of view, wanted to challenge myself at that level. I'd been away from coaching in a pro club environment for a long time, and wanted to get back into it to test the water, so to speak.
Hey, not to get you in trouble, but do you kind of have eye to get to the MLS and to that level?
Well, I'm very happy coaching in Portland at this time.
I think that's a good answer.
Coach that's worth his salt. If an opportunity, if a good opportunity presented itself, and you know, if that coach were out of contract or were in a position to be able to discuss with those clubs, I think one almost always must have an open mind. I think you've always got to do that. It's very flattering if you get asked to interview, and but I think you know, you've always got. I've always said to players, Bern, that you know, you should always try to. You should always play soccer while you can, first of all, but always try to coach at the highest level you can and play at the highest level you can. And I think the same is true for coaches. You know, you coach at the highest level you can. Now, unfortunately, in the United States, there's only 12 teams in MLS, so there really aren't that many positions, and there are only 12 teams in the A-League. So there's 24, you know, professional teams in this country, and that's not a lot. So so those jobs, you know, are very, very hard to come by. But but when, you know, when the opportunity presents itself, certainly, and I were asked to apply, you know, obviously I'd have to give it some consideration.
Yeah. Well, hey, favorite player that you've ever coached besides me?
Well, I don't think you know, you can have favorites. I think that
who stands out?
The player that really comes to mind, that probably the most outstanding player in the United States that have had the opportunity to coach is probably Claudio Reyna.
Huh. And why is that?
Well, he was just such a naturally gifted player, and still is. I mean, he's had a lot of injuries of late, but he was just, I saw him when he was 16 years of age, and you could tell at that time that he was a player that was a little bit special.
Hmm.
And he's gone on, and he's had a wonderful career, and he's proved that, you know, he is a player that had special skills. You know, great vision, great awareness, good passing ability, and just a natural talent. So you'd have to say that you know, he's probably the best all-round player that I've coached over here.
Sure.
And that's when I was working with the under 17 and the under 20 national teams.
Right. On a similar note, what is it that makes a good coach?
You know, that's a very, very good question. I think first of all, you have to have knowledge of the game in order to be, a good coach. Period. I think you have to be a good teacher. You know, you have to know how to work with people and work with players. But in order to be a good soccer coach, you know, or to move forward as a soccer coach, you have to have a good understanding of the game, good knowledge of the game. Then there's the ability to be able to impart that knowledge that you have to a person or a group of people.
Hmm.
But when you get to the professional level, not only must you have that as a background in order to gain the respect of the players, you also need to be able to manage them.
Hmm.
And I would say that 75% of my job is at the professional level is managing players.
Hmm.
I mean, if you look at the components of the game, you know, fitness, well, you know, players have got to be fit, otherwise they're not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Technique, well, if they don't have the suitable amount of skill, they're not going to be there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the tactical aspect of the game, you know, if they're not reasonably astute tactically, they won't be playing professional soccer either.
Hmm.
And the coach can help in that direction. So really, when you think about it, the only other component is the psychological aspect, and you know, you need to be working with players, managing them on a daily basis, manage them to try to get the best out of them.
Sure.
And that's why, you know, in Europe, in many cases, the person that we call the coach in the United States is actually called the manager. And that's really why, because he's managing those personalities.
Hmm.
And it must be very difficult now in the Premier League to be, managing adolescent millionaires.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's basically what's going on now.
Huh. Hey, last question, and we'll wrap this up. Last question is this. What do players say about you, Bobby Howe?
I have no idea.
Come on. what do you think they say about you as a coach?
You know what, Ben? I really wouldn't know. I mean, really, the last person to know what the players is saying about the coach is the coach. I think that, you know, that would be a question of the players. I think that, you know, hopefully they respect the role. And hopefully they respect, you know, the knowledge and background that I have, and hopefully they respect the fact that I'm trying to help them to become better soccer players.
Well, having played for you one time, I agree with all those things. You are a fair coach, and I enjoyed playing for you. I am the Strommer, Bernd Strom from SoccerSpecific.com, coming to you live from the boot room. Thanks again, Bobby Howe, and have a great season with the Timbers.
Thanks very much, Ben.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.